Gospel according to St. John. Out of the sixth chapter, I'll read verses 24 through 26 and verses 32 through 34. Supporting scripture coming from St. Matthew 4 and 4. The Bible reads this morning beginning at the 24th verse of the sixth chapter of John. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Mm-hmm. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Mm-hmm. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Mm-hmm. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and is given life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Yeah. Supporting scripture, Matthew 4 and 4. The Bible reads, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? We ought to use a thought of subject this morning. We like to use the subject looking for a certain kind of bread. Looking for a certain kind of bread. I thank God for what I feel in my heart right now. Right now. Yesterday is already gone. So don't ponder and worry about yesterday. But this truly is a day that the Lord God has made, and we rejoice and we are glad. I'm glad to be in fellowship. I'm glad to be in the house of worship one more time. I'm glad to have the blood yet running warm in my vein to where I know that I'm alive and I hear the sounds and I feel the spirit of a mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sickness and death is all around us. But everything that have breath ought to praise the Lord. If it was not for obedience, I could give the benediction right now. But there might be one amongst us this morning that you looked in your cupboard and you found that you don't have any more bread. But I'm glad that if you know anything about Jesus the Christ, you don't never have to go hungry. I usually pray to feel close to what I'm feeling right now. Oh, God. If you, and then no if in it, you are a child of God this morning. And being children of God, we ought to be mindful of the blessings that our God has bestowed upon us. There are those this morning that are thankful for last week's journey. In that journey, God allowed us an opportunity to make some necessary choices for our lives. Every day we decide what we are going to do, how we are going to act, who we're going to speak to, who we're not going to speak to. We make decisions in life. Every day we decide how we will govern ourselves, even when the unexpected comes. Because the reality of life is that we are living day by day, but we don't know what to expect from one moment to the next. When you first get up in the morning and you could be having a wonderful day in the Lord and everything could be going just fine, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that could change. And any of you that know anything close to what I'm talking about, as soon as it changed, your emotions kick in and you began to talk to God or talk to somebody, but you realize that I need a little bit of help. And then you realize that, Lord, sometimes you find yourself throwing your hands up in despair and say, Lord, what am I going to do now? Is that anybody's story in here that you were going through and everything was going all right, but something fell on your plate and you really didn't have a true understanding how to deal with it? So you just threw your hands up in the air and said, oh, Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do now? Then how many of you know that anytime you call on God, he's not that far away? We are here this morning because of the blessings and the mercy of God. And I am able to say that the Lord just keeps on doing great things for us. We still believe this morning. I believe that there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. I remind of a song that said, we have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. And then it goes on to say, forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. You are not here to think about your main problem. You are here to talk to God about your problem. And then you may not came with a problem this morning. You may just have come with a spirit of joy, a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of appreciation for what the Lord God has already done. Now, if we be honest with ourselves, every day we are always asking God for something. But how many of you know that also every day we ought to be thanking God for what he's already done? You may think it a little strange, but you can be down and out and you still ought to have a mind to tell God thank you. You can be going through some situations in your body and still you ought to be able to tell God thank you, because the thing is that if you're going to get any help, where's your help going to come from? So you got to stay in communication and contact with God. That there are some things that are going to happen that's totally beyond your control. Yes, sir. But even though it might have been beyond your control, the God that you serve, that sees and knows everything, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how you're dealing with it. He knows exactly what he needs to do for you in order for you to maintain. That there are some folk about to lose their mind because of situations in their life. But I learned that if you take off every weight, and the Bible says every sin which so easily besets you, then you can run this race with patience. Hallelujah. I believe that I need some runners this morning that don't mind running all the way, even to the end of the world. I need somebody that can have a mindset like Paul that said, I'm forgetting all those things about yesterday, and I'm going to press toward the mark of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that God is able this morning to call your very name. And when the Lord calls your name, you got to answer. And the good, sometimes he can call you and he's not calling you for the death train. He'll call you, let you know that I'm still right there by your side. Calling to let you know that I heard your humble cry and I'm right here. All you got to do is just trust me. Look and see, I'm right here. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, so many times we allow the enemy to cloud our minds and with all of the negative things of life. And we allow circumstances to sometimes be that stumbling block that we think can't be moved. But a stumbling block can either be moved or it can be got around. One thing I found out that sometimes when the stumbling block get there, if I cannot get around it, I say, Lord, give me strength to step on this stone and make it a stepping stone instead of a stumbling stone. See, a stumbling stone may trip you along the way, but a stepping stone will lift you up above your circumstance.
Anybody ever found out that you may be down and out, but you can look to the hills and God has a way of lifting your spirit up? And you go beyond your circumstance. You go beyond what you thought was going to happen. And then you find yourself saying like Sophie, look at God. Look at what God can do. Whenever I thought that I didn't know what I was going to do, God already had everything already in control. God already delivered and made a way out of no way, so I can stand back and say, look at God. See, when you can look at what God has done, you ought to be able to have a praise in your heart. When you look at what God has done, you ought to be able to tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't have no place in my life. Now, it does not mean that you are perfect, because we are not. None of us. But we are striving to be more like Jesus. When we think about who God is and all that he has done over the years, we are accustomed to being blessed. That's most of our problem, is that we've been too used to being blessed. And then we have to look at where we are in life. Many years ago, we had ancestors that suffered and bled and died and went through much more than we could ever imagine. And many, many generations has transpired. And as the generations began to go farther and farther, things got better and better. But how many of you know that it's still not where it needs to be? But then we are able to say this morning, look where he brought us from. And we are proud people. But we are not so proud that we won't humble ourselves at the feet of Christ. You see, when you get so proud that you think that all of your accomplishments are about your own self-effort, you are sadly mistaken. If you have intellect in here, it still came from up there. Because you were made by God himself. So everything that you have, everything that you are, everything that you ever hope to be, you can give God some credit. We look and we are blessed in our community. We have joy. We have a roof over our head. We have food to eat. And the necessities of life has been within our reach. All of us have developed a habit called eating. Day after day, God provides our needs. And we know that God will feed us when we get hungry. There are those that say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the supplier of all of our needs. It's been said that he has cattle upon 1,000 hills. And then Jesus himself says to us this morning that I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you will hunger no more. Any folk in here didn't get breakfast this morning? Everybody got something to eat this morning? I guess I should say, hold your hand up. Got to learn how to witness in the house of God. When you hear a question, respond. See, I'm not a neighbor preacher. Some of you have gotten accustomed to tell your neighbor. I don't want you to tell your neighbor nothing this morning. I want you to talk to God. A lot of times you get in your neighbor's way. So I'll reframe that question. Anybody in here eat breakfast this morning? There you go. There you go. We ain't dead. Our ears are working. God sent me here to preach. That's the only reason that I was able to come and open up my mouth. But as you sit there and hear me declare the word of God, you got to be a hearer of the word of God. God sent the preacher. You are the hearer. So after you hear the word of God, then you got to become a. All right. All right. So I'm in the right house this morning. We are on one accord and we know exactly where we are. We've got to learn how to not take our blessings for granted. We look at it as if God owes us something because we've been so accustomed to having whatever it is that we want. There was a time in life when we were thankful for anything that we could get. But now so many of us are more concerned about what we want. There's a time when we didn't have a lot of choices because we couldn't afford to have those choices. But by the grace of God, we have come a long way, a long way. When life is good and the harvest is plenteous and there's more than enough to go around, we don't consider or think about the days ahead. Sometimes, instead of splurging when you got a little something, you got to still learn how to stretch it out. You know how it is. You get a few extra coins and all of a sudden we going out to eat tonight. But now if you do like you did yesterday before that bankroll came in, go in there and cook something, then you can eat now and you can eat again later. But when you go out and you eat, you're going to eat and it's going to cost you more and you ain't going to have nothing when you get home. Not if you have a good appetite. Now, if you're one of those that eat light and you got a takeaway, you know, I used to be too proud to take my food away from the restaurant. But now I don't leave, especially no meat. I don't care if it's this big. Let me take my meat with me. I'll eat that after a while. We got to learn how to stop throwing our blessings away. We got to be mindful that we got to look out for that, what they used to call the rainy day. When you don't have very much, and then you got to know that God will still supply you every need. How many of you know that there are times when we say that we are hungry and we want something to eat? We go in there and we look in the kitchen and the same food that we already bought. We say nothing in there to eat that anybody in here. Problem is that you don't see anything that you want for that particular moment. But there is something in that eat. See, that's how our ancestors made it. They wasn't fancy folk. They could scramble up an egg in the midnight hour and eat it and be happy. We done come too far to allow society to break us down. We got to understand that when we look in the cupboard, something is missing. Nothing to drink, out of eggs. Got a mind that you want a sandwich, but you have no bread. And even if you got a big bread eater in the house, there are those that love bread. Then there are those that don't like bread too good. But everybody, whether you like bread or not, every now and again you want a piece of bread. Found out that it's hard to make a sandwich without some bread. But now I learned when I was a little boy that you can make a sandwich without some meat. I ain't ashamed to say it. Anybody in here ate a mayonnaise sandwich? Don't act like you all that. Now you young folk, y'all may not know nothing what I'm talking about because y'all got the fast food and all that junk. But when we had to make it on our own while they worked during the day, you make a tomato sandwich or whatever kind of sandwich. You like mustard berry mayonnaise, get the mustard. But one thing, you don't have no meat. But how many of you know that bread was good? It's better to have something than nothing. And we walk around complaining day after day. And I wonder this morning, have you ever noticed that we get a time when we just don't have enough to go around? And there was a time, you know, when I was growing up, the only bread that I knew about was biscuits. I knew about cornbread and I knew about, you know, the loaf of bread we call a loaf of light bread. Any other witnesses in the house? See, when we talk to some of our young folks, they get tickled at us. All that stuff we say, but we say what we've heard. If mama said, go to the store and get a loaf of light bread, then I'm going to the store and get a loaf of light bread. She didn't specify what kind or who made it. But if you live there, you know what kind of bread been coming in the house. So you look at the color of the pack, you go pick it up and bring it on back home. And the best thing you better know is don't squeeze that bread on your way. If you want a whipping right quick, fast, in a hurry, mash that bread up. We are living in a time now as we've grown and we know more and we've seen more that we found out that there's a whole lot of bread out there. Man. I was almost grown before I heard about a croissant. I didn't even know wheat bread was wheat bread. I thought it was just brown bread. Wasn't because I was a dummy, but that's what they called it, brown bread. So now, my question for you this morning. What kind of bread are you looking for? I've told you several examples of bread, and I ain't even going to try to go into all the breads that they have in the store right now. We got bakeries everywhere that you can get any kind of bread you want any time of the day you want almost. But now, we got to understand that every now and again, bread is able to fill that void space. And when you get hungry and you don't have anything else to eat, you know, I make them jokes about meat, but I know what it is to have a meal without some meat. And I know how it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. I need to stop going there. But let me throw one more out there before I get into this word. Nothing that I hate worse than molasses and biscuits for supper. What kind of supper is that? Y'all don't know how blessed y'all are. I hated molasses. But I learned how to get some butter, keep mashing it and working with it, get the color right, and I sopped that molasses like it was the best thing I ever had. Don't never forget where you come from. It is part of our makeup to get hungry every day. Sometimes early in the morning when I wake up and find myself, my stomach is making some kind of noise there. And there are times when I'll get up and I'll address that noise, and then there are times when I'll just let it go. But whenever you're in a position where you hadn't had anything to eat for a long time, I think about Jesus the Christ. The Bible says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. When he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, so afterwards the Bible declared that he was hungry. So when you think about it, Jesus was in the flesh as a human being and for 40 days and for 40 nights he hadn't eaten anything. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he let him know that it's more to my living, it's more to my being than just bread. Even though Jesus was hungry, he realized that I cannot allow the enemy to sidetrack me. He said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy feet upon the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again that thou shalt not tempt the Lord our God." Again the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things can be thine if thou would fall and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." You see, you got to realize that in those times when you get hungry, even though Jesus himself got hungry on that occasion, he didn't allow the enemy to rob him of what God had done for him. He realized that there are times when we got to stop listening to what the enemy has to say. When you think about what happened when we talk about Brother Moses, when you're leading the people out of bondage and God supplied the manna from heaven, the Bible says in John 6 and 32, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." In other words, it said Moses prayed and he was their leader and he did ask God to do some things, but Moses didn't supply the bread himself. See, we got to learn where the source is. We got to learn that it's not so much of the bread of who the maker of the bread is. We got to know that God has a way that he will make sure that we have everything that we need. We got to realize that there are times when we come together and God already knows the situation. Sometimes you began to wonder, I don't know what I'm going to do. But when we look here in our text this morning, the Bible tells us that Jesus was there on the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus went from one place to another, we know the story of Jesus. All kinds of people always followed behind him. Well, on this great occasion, they were there at the mountain and they began to talk about the fact that we are hungry and we don't have anything to eat. Well, Jesus said, look out among you and see what you can find in the crowd. Well, Philip answered him and said, there are 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them will not be able to get a little. But the Bible declares one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? The Bible said, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place because they were in a mountain area so that the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. So now you count the numbers. You got 5,000 people. You got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But the Bible says Jesus, he gave thanks, told them to sit down and began to serve the people the bread. When they began to eat the bread and the fish, the Bible declares they were all filled. And after everybody got as full as they wanted to, the Bible say they went and gathered up the fragments. See, that's what I'm talking about. Those leftovers will come in handy. For if you grab up the fragments of life, God will begin to give you something for the next day. So here we are. Jesus is there and he's fed all of these folk. And now he's a little weary. But now I see my Lord going up to the mountaintop. And as he goes to the mountaintop, he realized that I'm going to talk to my Father. And as he talked to his father, he realized that the disciples now have gotten in a ship. The Bible said they got in the ship and they went over across the sea. Now, when they got over across the sea, the people got up and they began to look for Jesus. You know, when somebody feeds you and give you what you need, you always want to be where they are. You always want to be where you can get a bite to eat. See, I thank God for having those kind of friends that don't mind saying, have a little something to eat. And I thank God for my son Jesus. Jesus is the one that is able to do anything that we need him to do. But here we have Jesus standing there. He fed 5,000 folk. But now that he's up in the mountain, the Bible said that there are folk that are looking for Jesus. They said we looked everywhere. We went up to the mountaintop. We looked all around. And I remember when the disciples got down in the boat, I didn't see Jesus get down on the inside of the boat. So he must be here on the island somewhere. But they found that they couldn't find him anywhere. So when they could not find their Lord anywhere, they began to say, I got to make some provisions and I got to go and find where that bread of life is. I got to find out where Jesus is. For the Bible say that they got into a boat, found them a way to get over on the other side. And after they got over on the other side, they found Jesus exactly where he was. Somebody said they began to ask the Lord, Lord, how is it that you got over here? I remember when they got inside the boat and they didn't get in the boat with nobody else. But I thank God for my Jesus, for he didn't have to answer their question the way that they thought. He began to tell them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the only reason you are looking for me is not because of the miracle that I done. You are just thanking me because I fed you when you got hungry. You are thanking me because I gave you some temporary relief. But I want to let you know this morning that it's not about what you eat right now, but it's what you're going to have for life everlasting. I know that I got to have what I got to have, and I want to have some bread in my life. But the Bible said that Jesus said unto the people of God, labor not for that meat which perishes. In other words, don't work all hard just to get bread for today and not have anything to eat on tomorrow. But know that if you hold on to the power of God, if you believe in the real God, if you believe in the source of life, God will feed you when you get hungry. They said unto him, what shall we do then? The Bible said that you ought to work the works of God. Anybody in here willing to work? Jesus answered and said unto him, this work of God, you got to believe that who he is, he said he is. If you believe that God is who he said he is, then I stop by to tell somebody that God told Jesus that everything was going to be all right. Jesus began to tell the people of God, you want to talk to me about what happened back in Egypt? You want to talk to me about how they got manna down from heaven? But let me let you know something. Moses didn't have anything to do with that bread. That bread came down from heaven. It came down from God up above. But the same God that sent the manna down, the manna was for a temporary situation. But I got somebody that God has sent down. He is the bread of life. For the bread of God is to that that believe in God himself. If you believe that he is who he said that he is. God said that I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. Anybody looking for any bread this morning? I don't know what kind of bread you might want, but I want to let you know that God is that bread. If you eat of that bread, you won't get hungry. If you eat of that bread, he'll do whatever needs to be done. That bread won't put weight on you. That bread will give you strength down on the inside. What kind of bread are you looking for? The bread of life. Where you're going to find the bread of life. The bread of life is in Jesus the Christ. When you believe what happened on Calvary's Hill. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have life everlasting. So what Jesus was trying to tell them. That don't worry about temporary eating. But you better get hold of some bread that you will have life everlasting. If I eat of this bread, I'll never get hungry anymore. If I eat of this bread, I know that everything is going to be all right. I don't know what kind of bread you are looking for this morning. But whatever kind of bread it might be, do know that if God is the supplier of that bread, that it'll be food for your very soul. I thank God. God knows I love me some cornbread. I love me some soft rolls. But I thank God for the light bread. Because every now and again, I got to make me a sandwich. And thank God for the bread of life that was strung high and stretched out wide. The bread of life that bled on Calvary's Hill. The bread of life that'll feed you when nobody else is around. The bread of life that'll heal your feeble body. The bread of life that's not dry bread. It's not rye bread. It's not wheat bread. It's not croissant bread. But it is the bread of the Lamb. What kind of bread are you looking for? If you're not looking for the bread of Jesus, then you're looking in the wrong bakery. The bread that I speak of is Jesus the Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. And if you eat of this bread, you would never hunger. And he even put in that verse, nor thirst. So we've heard that when folk make hard time, that all they got was a little bread and a little bit of water. But it sustained them and kept them to a better day. If you don't have the luxuries of life you're looking for now, thank God for the bread of the Lamb. If you are in the store looking for the freshest bread you can find, stay home. open up this Bible, and you'll get some fresh bread. If you eat of this bread daily, it will supply and sustain and keep you, even in a time such as this, when it seemed like everybody is seemingly going the other way. God is still saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life.